gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, of course it is. Of course it is. 6 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie
Brenda McCarr Show.
Hi, I'm Brenda McCarr for Tampax Tampons. We're not number one, but we're up there. All right, little 70s flashback. Good morning, everybody. Happy inauguration. Wow. Wow. We are coming to the finish line here, live from D.C. on the road. We are here, of course, in Bill Press's studio on Capitol Hill. Jim Ward, Chris Lavoie, and Matt Breen joins us, editor-in-chief of The Advocate magazine, one of our very special friends.
Good morning.
I'm so, you know what, and we already booked you for this, not knowing what the president was going to say yesterday, which was so historic.
We were on a brainwave. Yesterday.
Yeah.
Was historic in so many ways. Everybody was elated yesterday.
Right.
It was just so exciting. It was such an exciting day.
My friend David Bender, who we're having on in hour number three, I got those OMG texts. OMG! He mentioned Stonewall. Yeah. I mean, it's the first president to ever mention gay rights in an inaugural drive. I mean, it really was...
Grover Cleveland said something.
Really? Like that. I think so.
But it wasn't
first
recorded.
First to say gay. And that Stonewall line, you know, that was the crucial line in the inaugural address for me. Equating Seneca Falls, Selma March, Stonewall. I mean, he's demonstrating to the entire country that these are equivalent.
It made all the right people mad. And that's the important thing.
Yeah, I wonder what Fox News thought of. Oh, wait, I don't care.
Oh, yeah, we have that coming up in Right Wing World. I could feel the energy. I got to go to the Human Rights Campaign inaugural ball last night and, you know, hang out with Senator Baldwin. And, it really... I feel like the energy around marriage equality in particular, you know, I saw it was interesting running into Chris Perry and Sandy Steer, who, of course, you know, it's the Supreme Court case and we're on the way. Right. It's almost Supreme Court time.
It's almost Supreme Court time. Yeah. I'm really curious to know exactly what question the Supreme Court will take up. But, you know, Obama's speech was right in front of the Supreme Court justices. Inauguration speech right there. So, you know, delivering this kind of message right in front of the Supreme Court, right in front of Republican opposition.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's hard to come back, crawl back from that.
Jimmy,
well,
we were talking.
We know what Clarence Thomas will say. He'll point at Scalia and say what he said.
Whatever he said, I don't.
Scalia had a nice hat on.
very medieval looking, which is appropriate. Yeah.
He looked cute in that hat.
Why? He has such a nice head of hair. Why would he want to pay? That was catty. Anyway,
it looks like some Venetian doge or something. I don't know. It's weird.
You know, being here, though, Matt, it's interesting. We were saying, no matter how many times I'm here, when you walk by the Supreme Court, you go, wow.
Yeah.
You know, you realize, like, how big these issues really are. I mean, it's... Anyway, let's take a listen to what the president said. That was, like, goosebump time for a lot of people last night. Here he is.
For our journey is not complete until our wives, our mothers, and daughters can earn a living equal to their efforts.
What? Crazy talk.
Our journey is not complete until our gay brothers and sisters are treated like anyone else under the law. For if we are truly created equal, then surely the love we commit to one another must be equal as well. Our journey is not complete until no citizen is forced to wait for hours to exercise the right to vote. Our journey is not complete until we find a better way to welcome the striving, hopeful immigrants who still see America as a land of opportunity, until bright young students and engineers are enlisted in our workforce rather than expelled from our country. Our journey is not complete until all our children, from the streets of Detroit to the hills of Appalachia to the quiet lanes of Newtown, know that they are cared for and cherished and always safe from harm.
Zoinks! He got gun control and gay rights in just that piece. Charlie Pierce, who's going to join us next hour, writes, Obama's speech was a bold refutation of almost everything the Republican Party has stood for the past 40 years.
Yep.
It was, right? I mean, it was really a pretty bold, progressive speech.
Yeah, it was incredibly bold. I got choked up, like, at a number of different points. The whole inauguration program to me was so boldly inclusive.
Right.
I mean, we have an openly gay Latino poet delivering the poem. Mm-hmm.
And you know how you know that's true? Because Sean Hannity said it was the most divisive speech ever.
And the initial benediction speaker, yeah. The priest who was going to give a benediction, or the pastor. You know, the gay media uncovered some of his not so nice things he had to say about LGBT people in the past. And the inauguration committee, 24 hours later, had a new LGBT inclusive Episcopal priest, Luis León, to give the benediction.
Right. And as you were mentioning, this young gay Hispanic poet. I mean, again, historic. And I don't know if you saw it, Jim, but the best picture ever for Eric Cantor's bitch face. There was a picture of Eric Cantor. While listening, he's just like, what? Do we? Who? Why must we have the homos?
Who thought of that guy? Oh, look at his nails.
Jim.
I'm just saying, Eric Cantor being homophobic is funny.
Yeah, but it's just, I mean, it really is, you know, it's sad in a way that we've gotten to this point, but I mean, literally we'll go through right-wing world. Of course they hated it. Even the inclusion of gay rights, of course, obviously most people applauded it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, on Twitter, let me see here. Who's this? I don't know. It's somebody predictable. Mr. President, our gay brothers and sisters are treated like every other citizen under the law. No, they're not. That's the whole point. That's why there's a case going to the Supreme Court.
Yeah. If that weren't an issue, we wouldn't be fighting it in the Supreme Court.
Yeah, exactly.
Usually it's an issue if it's going to the Supreme Court.
Exactly. Someone else tweeted, if Obama walks the walk, he's talking right now about gay rights and climate change. This could be a remarkable second term. Chris and I were lucky enough to go to hang with Senator Boxer yesterday. At a luncheon right after the inauguration. And she was really excited, you know, as the head of the environmental, I can't remember the whole committee, because I'm drunk.
Drunk.
But, you know, she was really fired up. She was like, I, you know, that he mentioned climate change again.
She almost seemed a little bit shocked that he mentioned it so prominently.
Yeah. She was, and then a grandchild flung himself into her arms and taller than she was.
The children,
so it was awkward, but but anyway, she was saying, and what was the line, Chris, that Senator Boxer was talking about being so excited about that being self-evident doesn't mean it is self-fulfilling. Right. Meaning we have to get it done now. But that to her was sort of a clarion call, and she was, you know, excited about it. But
the fact that we made it recognize things. Yeah. To recognize the importance of an issue doesn't mean that we can allow ourselves to stop working.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, that's the essence of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, the Nazis are really bad. Maybe we should think about doing something about it. I know. Let's bomb them.
Well, I mean, I think that already, you know, Matt, and we've talked about this before, he has done, as we know, more than any other president, all the other presidents combined on gay rights, you know. And I think that it was suddenly a huge moment when he came out in support of marriage equality. But like you say, this is just a whole different. The inaugural address is just such a historic thing that's going to stand for all time. And like, you just go, oh, my God, that just happened.
Practically written in stone as soon as it's delivered, you know.
Right. I think Charlie writes about this, too, that we will never have another Democratic candidate not in favor of marriage equality.
No,
right. You
absolutely.
Can't go back now.
You can't walk back from that. Or you look retrograde, or you look bigoted, essentially.
Yeah.
But, you know, in conversations yesterday all over town and all weekend, you just see the effect of Obama's inclusiveness, Obama's equating LGBT rights with civil rights, just generally human rights. And I think you see, like, coalitions building that you didn't see in the past, people who didn't necessarily think of LGBT rights as being on par with other kinds of human rights.
He's changed,
and they do now.
Right. He's changed the conversation, to just one of basic fairness. And I think that's something that Americans understand. I think Charlie writes this again. Mm-hmm. We'll talk to him next hour. But just that fair is fair.
Fair is fair.
Right.
And
I'm sorry. You wrote this. No, this was you. You had a great piece in The Advocate about this. But that's to me the crux of it about the American people. Even if, you know what, some people have a little, I don't really know if I like gays.
You know,
it's still... Fair is fair. They have a sense of fairness, and this is not fair and not equal.
Exactly. There's still a little squickiness from some people, but, you know, I still got a little bit of a you people vibe from some people yesterday. But at the same time, they're like, you can tell that they're growing in their understanding of what is fair, what is equal.
Right.
And that notion of, of fairness is expanding to include, you know, factors that people hadn't considered in the past,
right.
Like the orientation. Like, or gender identity is going to be one of those things that we have to tackle soon.
I suspect Malia was instrumental in turning Obama's mind on that. Dad, it's really not McGill.
God, Dad, you're so retro.
It is generational. Oh. Absolutely, it is generational.
I have no idea if she talks like a Valley girl or not.
But yeah, you're finding
Dad.
Finding kids and young people don't have an issue the way that old people do. And old people are finding the language to talk
Thank
about
God
fairness.
Thank God for teenagers humiliating their parents.
Yes, absolutely.
On various social issues. I think that's important. I can't remember what I was going to say now. I don't.
Sorry.
No, that's all right. I just think your point about fairness is so important because it's like we just said, it's almost like, okay, I'll trade your general sense of ooginess for my full civil rights.
Yeah.
That's fine. You can have a general sense of whatever. You'll get over it.
They will. Yeah, they will get over it. Yeah,
exactly.
And younger people won't have to get over it at all because it won't be. It won't be. It won't be a stumbling block for them. It'll just be built into our notion of fairness.
Right.
A little child shall lead them.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I was talking standing there last night after the president's, his comments in the speech and talking to Senator Tammy Baldwin, who was the first openly gay.
Beaming last night.
Right, openly gay senator. But I thought the progress, Matt, will be when that's not a story anymore, right? That you go, oh, yes, and she happens to be gay.
Yes, yeah. That will continue to be the story until hopefully it's not notable. In the same sense anymore.
When it becomes the least interesting thing about
right, stuff. Yeah. Right. Well, that's one of the most fascinating things about Tammy Baldwin, I think, is that she never, I wouldn't say she shied away from her sexual orientation in terms of campaigning, but it was so not on the minds of her voters for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And however she did that, I'm not entirely sure, but it was incredibly effective.
It's like the rules, Jim, of improvisation. They always say it is yes and.
And? Or yes, but.
That's what's going to happen with Kara. Yes.
But it's never, no.
And
no.
The point is, and that's relevant because.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. All right, so much more good stuff to get to. Matthew Breen, editor-in-chief of The Advocate magazine, live in studio here with us on Inauguration Week, here on The Stephanie Miller Show, live on the road from Washington.
Go ahead. Laugh out loud in your cubicle. Everyone already thinks you're a left-wing lunatic anyway. It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show on the road live from Washington, D.C., Inauguration Week, on a historic Inauguration Week, I think. Matt Breen, editor-in-chief of The Advocate magazine, is here. Let's listen to the moment where the president mentioned Stonewall.
We, the people, declare today that the most evident of truths, that all of us are created equal, is the star that guides us still. Just as it guided our forebears through Seneca Falls and Selma and Stonewall, just as it guided all those men and women, sung and unsung, who left footprints along this great mall, to hear a preacher say that we cannot walk alone, to hear a king proclaim that our individual freedom is inextricably bound to the freedom of every soul on earth.
If only you were a good speaker.
But I mean, the fact that it was on Martin Luther King Day, I mean, just the whole thing, and that he, as you say, he pulled all of us along, all of us in the civil rights struggle, he pulled gay people right into that historical arc, right?
Yeah, he's talking about Seneca Falls, which is an early women's rights conference, and the Selma marches and the civil rights movement, and Stonewall. Just, it's one of those moments, again, where he's demonstrating to people, these are all about equality. These are all the same. You should consider them. Mm-hmm. You should consider them all as human rights. Mm-hmm. And there shouldn't be a distinction in your mind about who deserves human rights.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. I mean, that to me was such a one of those moments where you know we were just saying during the break, we really were not to be geeks, but we're like going, it's a really exciting time to be us. All of us.
Is.
Like, this is history. We're going to look back on this, and people will say, remember the moment when a United States president you know, said what he said last night.
I think it's okay to geek out on these transformational moments. I mean, it's a big deal.
I was saying this is like prom week for, you know, political geeks anyway.
Totally.
As Mike would say, this is a big effing deal.
I don't care, like Beyonce, you know, Jennifer Hudson, everybody in the world's here, and I'm like, oh my God, it's Tammy Baldwin!
You did that last night, as a matter of fact.
I met Cory Booker last night, just geeking out. Will you carry me out of a burning building? I'm just a geek.
I did that the first time I was in D.C. I mean, L.A., I see, you know, TV stars all the time.
Right, movie stars.
Oh, it's Ted Koppel.
Chris Matthews last night,
I know. That's always a pleasure. Hey!
He had some interesting words for the log cabin.
What's that?
Log cabin Republicans, he had some interesting words for them. I don't know if you heard.
Oh, no.
Oh, what did he say?
Tough expletive.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
Good for him.
And he's like, I'm just, you know.
They're not fair enough. He and his wife were there at the Human Rights Campaign. You know, his wife done a lot of work on behalf of gay rights. So it was just an amazing sort of just vibe, right?
It is. And, you know, I get as patriotic as the next person. But when your country, like in the last Bush administration, when your country, when your president is involved with, like, actively trying to deny you your rights, it chips away at your feeling of being a part of this nation and being part of this country. But now there's bunting everywhere now and there's flags up everywhere, and you just, I don't know, I felt it in a new and different and very exciting way.
Yeah, I remember.
Associate that patriotism with our rights.
Yeah, I remember. Do you remember we were here for the last inauguration? I remember happening to walk around the back of the Capitol after the inauguration and George Bush is leaving, and everybody's back there, woohoo! Yeah!
don't worry, you got on the way out. Yeah.
His Marine, was it Marine One?
Marine One is the helicopter.
Yes. You got a few one-finger salutes.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I remember telling my mom, my Republican mom, who turns 90 today, flying down to take her to... She said, I told her that story, she said, oh dear, Steffi.
Well, it's not the most gracious thing.
It's a little bit sore wintery.
It is. I understand
somebody
the impulse,
just,
but...
Somebody just... What Republican was it yesterday, Chris? Actually accused the president of being a sore winner.
Oh, yeah. It was, I think it was Cantor.
Yes. Yes. I don't know what that means.
Such a sore winner. I don't like it when he does that. It's so arrogant.
I don't even know what that means. Yeah. Can you be a sore winner? So he talked about the things he ran and won on?
He wasn't apologetic enough
for
doing all those things. He should apologize to me personally.
Matt, what remains to be...
We're not doing what I want.
What remains to be done when, you know, people say, is he going to, you know, walk the walk, talk the talk? I mean, what remains to be done for him to do?
Because
obviously he
can't,
you know, the Supreme Court is not obviously under his, you know, he can't affect marriage equality anymore. I mean, he's already gone on record, right?
Right.
But what would you like to see him?
Well, one of the things that we've talked about is his campaigning, in a sense, and even in front of the Supreme Court in that speech yesterday.
Right.
Another one of the things that that would be really fascinating to see is LGBT cabinet appointments.
Right.
And there are two really great possible candidates for cabinet seats that I think would be great. John Barry from Office of Personnel, and Fred Hochberg, who is chair of the U.S. Export-Import Bank. Those would both be good cabinet appointments to Secretary of Interior and Commerce, respectively.
And I was reading a story yesterday, I think, in the Washington Post about, you know, military same-sex couples still not having the same rights to services and benefits and all that.
There are, we've been seeing lately, same-sex spouses being kicked out of or not admitted to officers' clubs.
Right.
Chaplains still can deny same-sex couples the right to marry, even in states where it's legal on bases.
Hmm. Right. Lots to do. We will talk as we go forward, as the president would say. Right back. Thank you, Matt. Matt Breen from The Advocate. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show, live from D.C. Right. We're even on the road and we're still having meltdowns with our music computer.
Computer back at the studio.
All right. Well, here we are. That was smooth. It's the Stephanie Miller Show on the road. You know what's nice is we're right here. We can bring this show right to the Smithsonian since it has been so incredibly flawless thus far.
Sure.
We can, Jim, we can sure. walk it over. Right. We knew that you would want this.
We could actually do the show in the Smithsonian.
Oh, God.
All right. 34 minutes after the hour. We are live, obviously, from Capitol Hill right here in Washington, D.C. for Inauguration Week. Jackie Schaffner is in her little lobster tank again.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I'm going through photos and pretty much giving no photo approval for anything because I said I cannot stand next to Melissa Fitzgerald.
Stop it.
Said I have to have her killed. I'm like, I think so.
I don't think that's a fair assessment.
She's too glamorous.
I offer to keep her in my dungeon.
Oh, honey, you're a giver.
Oh, that's
stepping
safe. So nice.
Yes.
You two must look into the same funhouse mirror, though, because you both have those moments where you say, nah, I don't look so good. And I don't think you two have bad moments.
No.
You really don't. They're both stunningly beautiful.
Every once in a while, Steph rolls in the morning and...
You're like, oof.
Oof. Oh.
Yeah, but we all have those morning moments. I'm talking about when they get dressed up or go out.
Oh,
or
you look beautiful this week.
I'm in an age where I need professional hair and makeup at all times, particularly if I'm going to stand even in the same room as Melissa Fitzgerald or Jackie Schaefer.
You need to have a gay follow you around.
Right. I need a gay. I need a full-time gay.
Yeah. Maybe you should hire Jeff, my friend.
He pretty much is my full-time guy. He tweeted the funniest thing, Jackie. Remember at the Sexy Liberal? There was this... gorgeous champagne, Boeuf Clicquot.
Yes.
Three bottles, however many bottles.
From Lily Tomlin and Jane Wagner.
Yes. Yeah. And so when he found out, he's like, oh, my God, Lily and Jane sent this? I'm drinking holy water.
That was incredibly kind and thoughtful of them. It was like they were with us in spirit.
Yeah.
See what I did there?
In spirits.
Yeah, I know. It's right. Hey. What you did there. Okay.
Waka, waka, waka.
Waka. Yeah, it's been, I have to say.
I geek out a little
Chris
on that.
Chris and I were saying for as busy and cluster effy as this was, it's been an amazing.
Oh, it's really been nice. So much fun.
We've done so much.
Yeah. I know. It's a blur. I can't even remember. And this was the conversation Chris and I had in the cab this morning. I'm like, I met some people that should come on the show. Okay. I don't remember.
I'm like,
that's helpful information.
Yeah. I'm like, thanks. Okay, great.
Who? Cory Booker.
Cory Booker was one of them, and you said Tammy Baldwin was another one. So.
Yeah, there's a geeky picture of me looking at him, and I'm pretty certain that's what I said. Would you run into a burning building to save me?
Oh, God, that's up there with your Kevin Costner moment.
Oh, would you send me a note in a bottle?
Yeah, or message in a bottle, because that was the name of his movie.
Right.
I'm sure he took to that.
I'm clever like that. Just,
will you be my bodyguard? Yeah. Did you? Yeah.
Fast on my feet. Fast on my feet. Just like that.
Call me Al.
Yeah. Lord, yeah. So it was, wow, what a week, what a weekend. I can't remember which was who was where. But
I know, yeah.
Right.
The highlight was still the White House tour.
Yes. You had a situation in your pants in the Situation Room, I think.
Well,
did a duty. You were so excited.
I know. No, nobody told me we were going to see the Situation Room, and they confiscated our cell phones and put it in a lead-lined box, which I thought was so cool.
That's awesome.
I know.
And I love that the president has secure phone booths in there.
Soundproof.
Just like Superman.
They look like the tubes that you send your checks to the bank teller in.
Yes. They look like pneumatic tubes because they had like these glass doors that like spun open.
Right. It's good someone thought of that because you don't want the president turning around going, do you mind? This is private.
And I will say one thing interesting to emerge from this entire weekend was that Michelle Obama's bangs now have their own Twitter account.
But that's
not the best moment of the inauguration. The best moment of the inauguration is the, where's the hashtag, historical moment in shade throwing.
Oh.
The eye roll she gave Boner. Oh, yeah.
I showed you that video on the street yesterday.
It was amazing.
Yeah, everything that happened, we're like, you gotta see this. It's hilarious. Did you see it, Jim? Yeah. Oh, my God.
I showed it to him this morning.
Yes.
So she's eating, and the president's next to her talking to Boner, and Boner says something, and she just, like, keeps eating. And then he says something else. Oh, my God, teenage eye roll.
Yes.
It was hilarious.
I called it an eye slap. She slapped him with his
backhand,
eye.
My backhand.
Exactly.
She's like, oh, please, with your orange BS today. Really? Inauguration day.
Somebody stepped on my tail.
It was, wouldn't you give anything to know what he just said? Whether it was a stupid joke or whether he just said something, I don't know.
I was hoping that story would emerge, that somebody would figure out through a feed maybe perhaps what they were whispering.
We need a lip reader.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
That's hilarious.
We should book that.
We should book that.
Sideways lip reader.
Yeah, that would be profile. Just like the Bill O'Reilly program. Sorry.
It was hilarious. Tony, give us cut one. Let's go back to the actual oath of office. What a day. Ooh, Tony.
Please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Barack Hussein Obama, do solemnly swear.
I, Barack Hussein Obama, do solemnly swear.
That I will faithfully execute.
That I will faithfully execute.
The office of President of the United States.
The office of President of the United States.
And will, to the best of my ability.
And will, to the best of my ability.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
So help you God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Mr. President.
Did you swallow his Nicorette?
Or is that about the secessionists? The United States?
United
Do we only have one left?
That's right.
And then Boner congratulated the president. He said, congratulations, Godspeed. He said, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the old hall of the House. The people's representatives met in this chamber over five decades prior to the Civil War. That seemed like a nostalgic note. Remember?
Remember?
Before black people could be president.
When things were better.
I'm not saying he said it in a nostalgic way. I'm just
It just sounded nostalgic.
Yeah.
Wistful, if you will.
For the old times.
Very old days. We didn't have to take sass from people. You know what I'm talking about.
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
No.
If people weren't allowed to eye roll you, are you saying something stupid?
Which is most of the time.
Ah, hilarious. All right. So much to talk about. Let's do cut two. Let's just listen to some audio from yesterday.
Today, we continue a never-ending journey to bridge the meaning of those words with the realities of our time. For history tells us that while these truths may be self-evident, they have never been self-executing.
That was it.
That while freedom is a gift from God, it must be secured by his people here on earth.
Yeah, that was the moment that Senator Boxer was telling us yesterday at this luncheon. She was hilarious. She was a little late to her. We weren't lucky enough to get invited to her friends and family thing right after the inauguration luncheon, and Chris and I. And she was late because she said, I didn't realize I was going to be invited to the president's luncheon, so I've been there, but I'll be coming back.
She said she finally achieved a level in the Senate where she would get invited to the president's luncheon.
Right, as if she was going to say, I'm sorry, Mr. President, I need to go have sandwiches with Stephanie Miller.
They were lovely sandwiches.
Chris LeVoy. Yes, they were.
And crudité.
Oh, you almost died when I told you there was cheese.
Oh, I know.
I said, I don't want to get so excited. We'll have a little semen decorum, but there's a lot of cheese over there.
Oh, man, yes. And yeah, and there were little caprese salads on a stick. That was so awesome.
Caprese on a stick?
Yes.
Is that possible?
Yes. Wow. Yes. An olive, a tomato, and a little ball of mozzarella cheese.
Yeah. Well, you know how him and cheese. Mm. He doesn't even care.
I worship cheeses.
Yeah. I met the vice president.
I don't care. There was a great camembert on that table.
Speaking of cheese, did you see the pictures from last night's inaugural ball where the snacks were Cheez-Its?
Oh, yes. My God. Okay. Oh, wow. I think so last night was me and Jackie. We lost you. We had a woman down. We got a mook down. A mook at us down. Yeah, I started to doze off. We went to, what was the thing? Oh, the HuffPost.
Huffington Post and Third Way did a joint event at the Old Ebbett Grill, which I heard, interestingly enough, they book in advance, not knowing who's going to win the election, so it would have been the Heritage Foundation and some other organization that would have held it had it been Mitt Romney. Ooh. So that would have been a real shindig.
Right.
Yeah. But it was Third Way and Huffington Post. We had... What were you going with that?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. That's
By the
where
way,
we were yesterday.
As you mentioned, Mitt Romney, the first candidate not to show up at the inauguration, he's in La Jolla pumping his own gas, looking like a hobo. Looking like a smelly hobo.
But yeah, you said we were at that.
But that's where we spent our afternoon, where the food was delicious.
Yes.
Melissa Fitzgerald and I were on a hunt for crab cakes,
right.
And we made a beeline and didn't move.
Am I old or am I like a child on roller skates? You guys are just all trying to like prop me up. And remember, Grandma? Oh, yes. What I was saying was right.
There was food there?
Oh, my God, amazing food.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think we got there a little late.
You had just come from lunch.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know you
right.
look like you eat 7,000 meals a day.
Because he might encounter a brief protein deficit.
You know, as you do.
There was food at my second lunch.
Yeah, anyway, but I know. So I got home. We were all like, okay, nap time. We go back to the hotel. And I literally, like, about 10 minutes, and then Alan Grayson calls, okay, I'm almost there. It's like, okay, back into another gown. Yeah, I had to rally.
And you did.
Because if you get to hang out with Alan Grayson, it's pretty amazing. So Melissa Fitzgerald and Shelley, her friend.
Aww.
And Alan Grayson and Roland.
Roland.
High-strung, sexy liberal tour director and I, we all went to partying last night.
Yes. I missed out on the festivities. But I did watch a little bit online and what was coming out. And what mesmerized me were the Cheez-Its at the inaugural ball.
Right. I think we talked about them going to the big one because we're like, look, it's a cash bar in the lines. Whatever. And I know you're a congressman, but there's
30,000 people at that. There are more people at that thing than there are at a basketball game, and it's inside an arena.
Right, and can I just call BS on myself? Because, you know, we always talk about income inequality, and we're for the... when you're dealing with inauguration traffic in D.C., you want some inequality. You want to...
Oh, really?
I want to be the 1%. I do not want to be... So we were a little overly excited that we got to drive with Congressman Grayson with his fancy lanyards that gets him through barricades.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we were getting all, we're with a congressman! Clear this out! Let's go!
Wow.
Yeah,
I didn't know they had fancy lanyards.
It's pretty exciting.
Okay.
Well, Alan Grayson's kind of a rock star.
He is a rock star.
So it's kind of, you know.
He is a rock star.
Yeah.
Marsha Blackburn doesn't think he's a rock star, but everyone else does.
Marsha Blackburn, asshat. Anyway, yeah, it was just an exciting inauguration. It really was. All right, so lots to get to on the big show. Charlie Pierce coming up live in studio.
He's calling me right now, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, heard my phone buzzing, too. Who is that?
I don't know.
Like Joe Biden again?
Charlie Pierce might be.
Okay. 46 minutes. All right.
Yeah.
46 minutes after the hour. Back live from Washington, D.C. for Inauguration Week. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ex-Catholic girls gone wild. Her grade school nuns would like to slap her silly. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, yeah. Jim Ward on air guitar. It is the Stephanie Miller Show live from Washington, D.C. We are crawling to the inauguration finish line. I think there's going to be a lot of crispy people at the airport today. And I got to get it up for one last party, as you know. My Republican mom turns 90 today,
that's right.
So I'm flying
to
Charlotte.
Happy birthday to your mother.
Happy birthday, Mommy. I'm flying to Charlotte to take her out to dinner. So
what are you doing? What's the big to-do?
I'm getting her some GD lobster, as she calls it. Yep. That's what she likes. That's what she wants. And, So, and then, by the way, tomorrow, Hal Sparks and Jim and Chris and Jackie will be filling in for me because I have to be with my mommy.
House party!
Yay!
Mom's away!
Mom is away! Everybody, one popsicle. That's it. Pot roast in the freezer, one popsicle, that's it. You know how you get on your sugar high, Jackie Schechner.
I'm a little bouncy off the
right,
wallsy.
Right.
Yes.
How about it? Who saw Jackie Schechner in her dress that's completely backless?
Yeah.
Just about
she was a hottie.
Aww. Y'all are sweet. I clean up good. But I got one night in me. That's what we've learned. I can do
that
and then I'm done.
Yeah, and I tried to use the argument you used on me the night before. You're like, it's only once every 4 years, Grandma. I was like, okay.
But I got a big week. I've got to figure out how to take over your show tomorrow.
Yes. Right.
Permanently.
Right, Eve. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I hit the wall, you may have to. When I hit the wall, it's going to be hard. I got to stay up for my mom's big party. I just fall asleep in the lobster. Happy birthday, Mom.
Does your mom beat you? Like, when you stay with your mom, does she stay up later than you
do? Oh, yeah. My mom, I eat earlier. I go to bed earlier. My mom is much more with it.
She's playing pinochle till 3
Although we did laugh at one thing. When I was having my pre-inauguration panic about gowns, as you know, my dad ran for vice president, so my mom, she wore a couple of gowns in her day. Particular at the dance where LBJ played grab ass with her that we previously discussed. But I was like, Mom, I need a gown. Do you have any? She's like, oh, yes, I do, dear. Well, let's try them on when you're here. I'm like, well, okay, but that'll be after the inauguration. And we both laughed really hard. She's like, oh, dear, that's right. Oh, what am I thinking? All right. Here is the president yesterday.
The patriots of 1776 did not fight to replace the tyranny of a king with the privileges of a few or the rule of a mob. They gave to us a republic, a government of and by and for the people, entrusting each generation to keep safe our founding creed. And for more than 200 years, we have.
Yeah, Jim has decided that he's going to use the Eric Cantor Watching the Gay Poet at the inaugural ball as his screensaver, and I will be choosing the Michelle Obama eye roll.
Yeah.
At Boner. We have new screensavers just from this.
Except group. Need the movement, you know, with the eye roll.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you need the animated GIF.
Right.
Yes.
Right. You'll do that for me, right?
You really can't.
Because you're my sole tech support.
You really can't use GIFs as screensavers, but
really?
I'll do what I can.
Who doesn't know that, Jim? All right. The president, one more time yesterday.
For the American people can no more meet the demands of today's world by acting alone than American soldiers could have met the forces of fascism or communism with muskets and militias. No single person can train all the math and science teachers we'll need to equip our children for the future, or build the roads and networks and research labs that will bring new jobs and businesses to our shores. Now, more than ever, we must do these things together, as one nation and one people.
Wow. By the way, I got to watch the coolest version of this. You want to know what?
What?
From Alan Grayson's cell phone that he took, you know, at the inauguration. So I got where he had kind of a good seat.
As he would.
Right. He's like right behind the, you know, the president, like, you know, the Congress and then the Senate, the senators or whatever. And so I watched that speech from Alan Grayson's cell phone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's like, and it was an interesting perspective, you know, and just capturing the whole, and I thought, you're such a geek, you're a congressman, why are you videotaping your cell phone, really?
Well, he's a fan, too.
He's a fanboy.
He's allowed to be a fanboy.
We were at the Creative Coalition Ball, and we hung out with Jim Moran, Congressman Jim Moran.
Right.
Whom we know.
We do.
We had on the show a lot.
Yes.
And I think, but from him to Congressman Grayson to Senator Boxer, I think people are generally pretty, what's the term, fired up, ready to go.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Mm. No, they seem pretty, right. It's almost, Jim, like we're moving in a forward type direction.
Yeah. I hadn't thought about that
right?
before.
Me neither. I just made that up now. Mm. It might be a campaign slogan someone could use at some point. A
little bit.
All right. Here's the president again yesterday.
My fellow Americans, we are made for this moment, and we will seize it so long as we seize it together.
Seize it. This is hard.
Seize it. Seize it. Do it. people seem to really be excited, genuinely excited by the speech.
Because,
you know, he has a high bar with speaking. It's a little hard.
Mm-hmm. It's hard.
Stop it.
Stop it. Stop
you it. Try it. You get in the ring.
He did get in the ring, and he won.
Right.
Nanny, nanny, boo-boo.
Ha-ha. Neener. Jackie was saying at the top of last hour that Mitt Romney, while that's unprecedented not to go to the inauguration, but he was not an elected official. But I still think it smacks of poor loser.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
I was thinking of him yesterday. Is he watching this?
Watching it, see, isn't the right height.
I think a reporter asked...
I don't like the trees there.
Yeah.
A reporter asked an aide of his if he... was going to watch it, and the aide said, I don't think so.
Yeah. Did you see that shot of the president turned around one last time to watch?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you could tell it was like that look in his eyes, like, this is the last time I'm going to see this. Yeah, and then we got to watch all the historical inaugural fun facts. What was that? Who was the president that somebody lassoed with a rope?
Eisenhower.
Yeah, probably best that they don't do that anymore. Yeah.
No.
Ooh.
Security.
No.
Secret Service wouldn't allow that.
No. No, that's probably tradition. Best retired.
I forget which one gave his inaugural address for 3 hours in the rain and died of pneumonia.
That was Harrison.
Right.
Harrison died a month later.
He was too dumb to be president, so it's probably...
But he wasn't.
And in closing...
He wasn't no Millard Fillmore, though.
Cack. No.
And Taft had a lot of padding to
keep
himself warm.
Ride out that storm. All right, 58 minutes after the hour. Charlie Pierce live in studio with us next. Here from Washington, D.C. is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hello, it is the Stephanie Miller Show live from Washington, D.C., crawling to the inauguration finish line.
Yes.
Getting on our respective planes today. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Your thoughts on the inauguration? When you're in the middle of it, you're like, is this as exciting on TV? And I think it was. I watched a lot on TV, too, from the hotel room.
I did, too. I did, too.
Yeah. Last year, I did the hours in the cold, so this year I skipped that.
I don't blame you. Although it wasn't as cold this time.
Right. No, it was not. Although it's getting progressively colder, and it's time to go back to L.A. now.
Yes, it's supposed to be high of it's supposed to be high in the 20s today.
Right.
No, thank you.
We were standing outside the hotel today, and I'm like, I don't really understand the concept of living on the East Coast if you have a choice.
No, Miami's on the East Coast.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Chicago's not on the East Coast.
No.
It's just, I know, because I grew up in Buffalo. People are like, oh, you must like the cold. I'm like, No. Not really.
I live in Los Angeles
Parents
for a reason.
Parents don't generally give you a choice. Would you like to live in this frozen tundra?
No, I'd like to live in Ukraine, please.
Exactly. All right. So, StephanieMiller.com. I'm going through photo approval. It's oof. By last night, it was a little gruesome.
We can Photoshop Melissa Fitzgerald out so that you don't
get her out of there. I love her, but I'm just, you know, seriously. No, she's very sweet.
Yeah.
She lent me gowns.
Oh,
and we were hoping that I need some press. So we're hoping that the people will start talking because we've been photographed in the same dress, and it doesn't just look like the same dress; it is the same dress.
Oh dear.
So hopefully there'll be some speculation on who got who out of whose dress.
Is there video?
This is how sweet and nice and polite she is. She actually, because she wore it the first night when she did her little skit for you.
Yes.
And I wore it the next night to the green ball.
Yes.
And then she actually asked me yesterday, can I wear the gown tonight? I was like, you mean, can you borrow your own gown and wear it?
Was it cleaned in between?
No.
So it was worn three nights in a row?
We weren't at spinning class.
Yeah, but still.
Girls don't sweat, we glow.
Uh-huh.
Does she know about, well, never mind.
Does she know about what? Don't drop that bomb and run.
What that meant?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
That you go commando?
Oh.
Oh, I didn't go commando. Oh, I had the pantyhose on.
All right.
I wore girl clothes. I know what's what.
but they have runs all down them.
Right. I wear them so seldom. I was running out the door. I was like, oh, it looks like a cat just clawed. my shin. I was like, oh, okay. I need to change. All right, so Charlie Pierce is somewhere.
Well, yes, he kind of...
understanding of that direction.
Yeah, yes. D.C. has an unusual address system. You know, there's the northwest, there's the southeast, and you have to have that in your address. But he went to this address in northwest, which is in front of the National Archives.
Pennsylvania.
He was standing in front of the National Archives, knocking on the door, wanting to come in.
Yes.
So he's on his way here now.
All right.
Yes.
We'll talk to him shortly. He's written some great stuff about all this.
But we have him for the hour.
We have
plenty of time to talk to him.
Yeah. By the way, I don't know. It's like 1 degree of separation this week. So last night I was at the Human Rights Campaign ball talking to Chris Matthews.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks at exactly the same volume in person as he does on TV.
He mentioned you yesterday on his show, by the way.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
Someone just told me. Because I was talking to him. He and Melissa Fitzgerald, friends, are all from Pennsylvania. And I was talking about having met Senator Bob Casey, who was really nice. And I thought, wow, he knew that my dad was one of the only other prominent Catholic politicians after JFK. And obviously Bob Casey's Catholic. And anyway, I mentioned that to Chris. And I'm like going, wait a minute. Was that because I said that to him? It's like, Chris Ness, you mentioned Steph's dad last night on Hardball about his Catholicism.
Yeah.
I'm like, I said it here. It's broadcast news.
I say it here. It comes out there.
On what? Hey, that, got that from me. Okay. Anyway, yeah, what a week. I'm my forehead is itchy because I feel like I'm having a brain-related event. Nobody help me. Oh, you're not going to anyway. All right.
God, no.
All right. Here.
No, we'll just call Hal Sparks.
Do you smell burnt toast?
Who will be in for me tomorrow?
That's right.
Along with all y'all's, because I'll be with my mommy for
her 90. Whatever will he talk about, I wonder.
He's shy. Try to get him to come out of his shell this time.
Yeah. He did T-Rex, though, on Saturday night.
I know. And I can see that 1,000 times.
Everybody loved
times.
It. Mm-hmm. Everybody loved it.
How many times? I've done about a zillion shows with him.
Yeah.
Literally, when I'm backstage and someone starts talking to me, I'm like, shh, it's T-Rex now. Because I get that nice side view from the stage.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's listen to some more crunchy audio. Some more crunchy audio goodness from the president yesterday.
Understand that our country cannot succeed when a shrinking few do very well and a growing many barely make it.
Talking to you, Mittens.
Yep.
We believe that America's prosperity must rest upon the broad shoulders of a rising middle class. We know that America thrives when every person can find independence and pride in their work. When the wages of honest labor liberate families from the brink of hardship. We are true to our creed when a little girl born into the bleakest poverty knows that she has the same chance to succeed as anybody else because she is an American, she is free, and she is equal, not just in the eyes of God, but also in our own.
Yahoo! Yahoo!
Liberal claptrap. Kids were born to work in sweatshops. Dropped dead at the age of 9.
I love
where that came from.
I love watching them watch the...
are there no workhouses?
I love watching them watch the parade.
Yeah.
And how I love how excited... oh, my God, I'm blanking. Which, Sasha, right, is the younger one.
Yes.
I was dancing at the one, you know, the... she was like... Even the president was kind of... I don't know who that was, the dancing people. The dancing people.
The Hawaiian dancing people?
I probably would not make a living as a parade commentator. Oh,
no.
Look, here's the
guy from that place doing that thing that he does so well.
Can I just say, I don't mean to be rude. There was some woman, such a dope on CNN yesterday. And I know you have to fill a lot of time when you're commentating.
I watched CNN for the parade. What? Who?
She asked Wolf Blitzer, I don't know, there was this moment where she went...
Robin Mead. I know exactly who you're... It was Robin Mead from Headline News.
I wasn't going to name someone. How?
What?
Now I'm going to run into her at the airport, probably.
I'm not going to run into her.
Anyway, she said, Wolf is the president and Mrs. President there yet?
That's...
I was like, did she just...
No, that's totally...
Call her Mrs. President?
That's what Robin Mead does.
Oh.
That's her thing.
I mean, I've said some dumb things when I got a lot of time to fill, but I'm just saying. President and Mrs. President here yet?
Oh, the Pope's Catholic. I had no idea.
Kevin Costner, will you send me a message in a bottle?
All right, buddy. Here's the president yesterday during the inaugural.
But we reject the belief that America must choose between caring for the generation that built this country and investing in the generation that will build its future.
Yeah, we'll talk about Charlie wrote about Paul Ryan had a very bad day yesterday. He had to sit and listen. Yes. Basically. Because it was a refutation of all of those ideas about the social safety nets. Mm-hmm. And the president again.
The commitments we make to each other through Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security, these things do not sap our initiative, they strengthen us.
Eddie Munster.
Yeah.
Talking to you.
They do not make us a nation of takers. They free us to take the risks that make this country great.
Booyah. Booyah, yeah. That was, like, you know. Cause
what about premium support? It's a good idea. I should try
I'm serious and thoughtful.
I'm serious.
I have a serious and thoughtful plan.
They tell me at Fox News that I'm serious. Can I sit at the big table?
We have to get serious about the social safety nets. Yeah, I would give anything to see what was in the thought bubble.
Yeah.
But that was it, because that really was a booyah. It was a we are not a nation of takers, because that was their whole argument. Mm-hmm. On and off, you know, knowing that they were on camera or not.
Yeah.
Were takers, were moochers, were 47%.
That's right.
What's that?
No wonder Mittens didn't show. Good heavens, how do I listen to that dribble?
Clap-trap.
Makes me feel bad about myself. Ooh, I felt something. I felt an emotion. What was that? Normally, my indifference is exactly the right height.
I'm feeling something that resembles a human emotion bubbling up. That is awkward.
Must squelch that.
Oh, is that gas? Or is that a... Oh. All right. Oh, and here's the moment that Senator Boxer told us she was so excited about.
We will respond to the threat of climate change.
What?
Knowing that the failure to do so would betray our children and future generations.
Wow. Wowee. That's where we were having lunch yesterday in the environment. What is that room?
The environmental Senate committee.
She told us it was the room that they wrote the Clean Air Act in.
And the Clean Water Act.
Right.
Yep.
Wow.
Right. So it's a historic room.
Yeah. And I was ironically drinking water, which I assumed was clean because it was good.
Wasn't Grover Cleveland's bath water.
No. Are you referring to the substandard water that we drank in the White House?
No, that was actually good water.
Really?
Yeah. It wasn't Taft's bath water.
It was lovely, though.
Taft really didn't have any bath water because he filled the entire tub. There was no room for water. I'm sorry, I'm making fat jokes about William Howard Taft.
He had the displacement of the USS Maine.
and there's this. He said more on climate change.
But America cannot resist this transition. We must lead it. We cannot cede to other nations the technology that will power new jobs and new industries. We must claim its promise. That's how we will maintain our economic vitality and our national treasure. Our forests and waterways, our croplands and snow-capped peaks. That is how we will preserve our planet, commanded to our care by God.
And this was my, personally, because you know I love my peace necklaces and
you
things
do.
Like that. This is my favorite hippie peacenik moment from yesterday.
We, the people, still believe that enduring security and lasting peace do not require perpetual war.
Huh?
Maybe that's what Eric Cantor made the bitch face about.
I bet it was.
Oh, yeah. Really? Peace rally. What am I doing here?
All right, 18 minutes after the hour. Is Charlie Pierce still wandering around like a vagrant?
He's on his way. He's on the metro right now.
All right.
Okay.
Awesome. We will be back with him, presumably.
Well, 40,000 other people.
Right, as we continue our inauguration coverage. Live from Washington, D.C., it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Flying off the left bank of the American Main Street, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Wow. It is the Stephanie Miller Show now, powered by Latte. Mm-hmm. 22 minutes after the hour. Thank you, Jackie Schechner.
Thank you.
Jackie, where'd you get us coffee?
I do it all. I am a full-service lobster.
You really are.
I can't believe she actually apologized for not bringing sugar for my coffee. I'm like, yes, because that's your job.
Well, I told her, you're all the sugar I need.
Oh, for the love of all things holy.
I know.
Oh,
I know. God.
If I'm going to do a job, I'm going to do it right.
You're going to give me some coffee, doll.
Exactly. And apparently a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah. Rosalaire Mary.
I do. I sound
you
like Rosalaire Mary after this.
No. I asked for the poor moth and how the filth is. What did you bring me?
You brought me a poor Jew.
Hey, was that a reference?
No, it wasn't a reference. It wasn't a reference to you. It was a reference to Ruffler Mary.
Wait a minute.
Because I'm Jewish.
I know.
You ever meet a poor Jew? Jesus. There's one.
There you go. That was a poor Jew.
Hey, wait a minute. That's a perfect segue. Hey, here's the president talking about stuff that Jesus actually said yesterday.
We will support democracy from Asia to Africa, from the Americas to the Middle East, because our interests and our conscience compel us to act on behalf of those who long for freedom. And we must be a source of hope to the poor, the sick, the marginalized,
you can't do that.
The victims of prejudice, not out of mere charity, but because peace in our time requires the constant advance of those principles that our common creed describes.
Okay, comrade.
Tolerance and opportunity. Human dignity and justice.
Wow. Wow.
That's communistical.
Aw, Jackie Schechner is like a little chipmunk. She's got a little mouthful of scone.
I know.
I bought myself an apple and fig scone, and Chris is like staring at me and drooling.
No, I'm just looking at the lobster, that's all.
I'm very spinny. You don't want to eat me.
Not even with drawn butter.
You know what? I'm going to let that joke just lay right there.
Yeah, that went wrong. That went horribly wrong.
That went awry.
No. No, I love you can tell a TV person because she's so relaxed when we're just doing radio that she just feels free to shove giant mouthfuls of stuff in
right
while we're on.
Yeah.
And that's why
my microphone was off. You didn't hear me chewing.
Right, but the cameras are on
you.
We have a monitor in here. You're right behind me.
Oh, really?
Right. Yes.
Right. Oh, she wasn't aware of that.
No, I mean, I know I'm right behind you.
Go ahead. Go back to stuffing your face. We're all fine. Yeah. Okay.
Everybody says I don't eat. I have to prove to the world that I eat.
That was it. That was the one time.
We were joking. Roland and I were going to take a picture at the green ball of me eating a cracker, taking one bite and being like, I'm stuffed.
Oh, my God. I will never fit into another gown tomorrow night. Second cracker? What?
Heaven forfend.
Yeah, I'm not really. This is so discombobulating, traveling, and I was going out to dinner at 2 in the morning, and I have no idea.
Yeah.
I
haven't been able to eat my normal
meals. God, you've really atrophied.
He's a wisp of a human.
I know.
Down to 300 pounds. Oh, God.
Stop, I'm not 300 pounds.
I think the muscle on top of his muscle has deteriorated.
Right, right. Wow, you're down like one layer of your 7 layers of muscle.
The cottage cheese industry has a glut now.
I know. Why do I have cottage cheese sitting in my fridge not being eaten?
Protein futures are down on the market.
It's horrible.
It's awful.
All right, Tony, let's skip to 15 because we've heard the others, the president yesterday in the inaugural address.
Progress does not compel us to settle centuries-long debates about the role of government for all time. But it does require us to act in our time.
What? No more gridlock. That might be a thing, right?
Yeah, that's what Boner is complaining about. They got the eye roll from Michelle.
Yeah.
I like gridlock. Gridlock's great.
And as we know, everything is always moving too fast for Mitch McConnell.
Yes.
Everything is moving way too quickly. Slow and steady wins the race.
Okay. The president talking about the work will be imperfect yesterday.
We must act knowing that our work will be imperfect. We must act knowing that today's victories will be only partial, and that it will be up to those who stand here in 4 years and 40 years and 400 years hence to advance the timeless spirit once conferred to us in a spare Philadelphia hall.
Yeah. Yep. 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 It was, he talked about voting, which that's radical. Here he is.
You and I, as citizens, have the power to set this country's course. You and I, as citizens, have the obligation to shape the debates of our time, not only with the votes we cast, but with the voices we lift in defense of our most ancient values and enduring ideals.
Yep, and then one last one about answering the call of history. Here it is.
With common effort and common purpose, with passion and dedication, let us answer the call of history and carry into an uncertain future that precious light of freedom.
We were talking about the threat of climate change dominated a major section of Obama's speech. We played a couple of those clips. Jackie, what do you think? Is Senator Boxer going to be disappointed? Or do you think that we're actually going to get something done on climate change?
Well, I'd like to think that we can multitask in the second term and work on immigration and gun safety and climate change all at the same time. So we'll see. I mean, you know, a lot of people complain that we focused focus too much on health care reform to the detriment of other causes.
Well, because of people like you, we focus
it
too much
on. I know, it was totally my fault. The extra ed was my fault. But I'm hoping this time around that we probably can get more than one thing done at a time, or, you know, at least now that we've got a little bit of leeway to push a more progressive agenda, I would hope.
Yeah. But we also have to go through a Republican House in order to do that.
Yeah.
So therein lies the rub.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be the same holdups, I'm sure, but at least trying to get something through. And immigration, it looks like at least they're willing to maybe bend a little bit on immigration because they lost the Hispanic vote by such huge margins last time around.
I heard Bill O'Reilly say, well, let's get something done here.
Yeah, and they're not above pandering.
I was like,
really?
Wow. Yeah. All right. Hopefully we will find Charlie Pierce. We got Right Wing World. We got David Bender. We got stuff.
Lots of stuff.
Yeah.
I have a scone.
Did you bring enough for everyone?
No.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You use your tongue prettier than a $20 whore.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, live from Washington, D.C. for Inauguration Week. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Look who's here finally, Charlie Pierce.
Live and in person.
Live in the
I've
studio.
I've made it to the studio because I was very confused by all this directional stuff in Washington. Northeast, southeast, uptown, downtown.
East-west.
I was wandering around. I was afraid I was going to have to buy a house.
Yeah, you said the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money helpfully gave you someone's home phone number.
Yeah, the name of the place and someone's home phone number.
Right.
You know, which may be a little bit late, but we are having dinner tonight, which is great.
Who? Oh, you would...
I'm moving in with them because it's easier than...
Okay, good.
It's easier than trying to figure out the town. Anyway, it's good to be here.
Hello, Charlie Pierce.
Hello.
Great piece about the... I've been quoting you all morning, as I do. You said Obama's speech, a bold refutation of almost everything the Republican Party has stood for over the last 40 years. It really was.
Yeah, and I think... I mean, I said it... I wrote it on... Actually, I hate quoting myself, but I'm going to do it.
Oh, please.
That's what we do.
I do it.
It was the single most progressive speech an American president has given since Lyndon Johnson on the Voting Rights Act.
Right. Wow.
1965, I think. At least in my memory.
Yeah.
Now it's the day after, and unfortunately there are still Republicans in Congress. So, we'll have to see. But.
Right. As you actually wrote it, you said the president's second inaugural with clear statement of progressive principles as a president has given since LBJ got up there and shoved the Voting Rights Act and the words "We shall overcome" right up old Richard Russell's ass in 1965.
See, I didn't know if I could say that. Literally. I didn't know if I could quote myself directly.
He literally did that.
Yes, he did. It was
right.
And there was room for the Voting Rights Act, but we shall overcome. Anyway.
But, yeah, I mean, some of this, as you say, though, through blood drawn by lash and blood drawn by sword, and you say editor's notes, Lincolnosity.
Yes. We had, Steven Spielberg, the conspiracy to get Steven Spielberg an Oscar continues even to the inaugural address.
Yeah, right. Right. We learned that no union founded on the principles of liberty and equality could survive half slave and half free. Yeah, I mean, it was... I mean, just...
Are we still having a debate about that, by the way? I thought that was one. That one was pretty well settled.
That's when Eric Cantor made his bitch face.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Boner, we were saying Boner seemed a little nostalgic when he was talking about the pre-Civil War era.
I'm sorry. I was on the mall, so I didn't see the network feed. Please tell me they cut to Paul Ryan when he came up with that line about that doesn't make us takers.
Right, yeah. So we just played that bit, and you're right. Good. Paul Ryan was like... Probably going.
I'm serious. I've got a serious plan.
I'm a serious, thoughtful, courageous.
Do you know what you are now, Paul? You are a failed vice presidential candidate.
Wow.
And the bar stools are full of them, my friend. I mean, you're still in Congress, and that's a good thing, and people are still taking you seriously, and that's a bad thing, but guess what?
Yeah. You. I mean, you're saying
premium support.
What about premium support?
It's a good idea. You should try it.
And then,
when did Eddie Munster turn into one of the little mice from Cinderella?
Cinderella.
We were talking about we got to go hang with Senator Boxer, and that we were saying I think she was surprised about climate change, and as you said, you could hear the sound of the punch he landed on the subject of global warming halfway to Annapolis.
Yeah, I mean, and now we're going to hear that was a bow to extremism. I don't know when it's going to dawn on people that it really doesn't matter who wins the political debate on this. If we don't do something,
right.
Things are going to melt and things are going to be worse.
And it's happening now.
And it's happening at the moment.
We'll continue the debate with scuba gear.
That's right. Exactly.
Yes.
We'll be back with, some Republican consultant who will be underwater.
Yes.
I was at Glacier Park in Montana several years ago. There's no glacier left. And that was then.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, when I wrote the book, I went to a place called Shishmaref, which is a little island in Alaska that's going to be gone in 15 years because there's no permafrost left anymore, and the ocean doesn't freeze.
Yeah.
So what happens is they have these gigantic storms up there, and it just pulls the island
in big
chunks out. If you talk to those people about the fact that we're actually having a debate over whether climate change is real and what we should do about it, they laugh. They literally laugh at you.
Yeah.
Because it was funny. They told me they can't use what they used to call the Eskimo freezer. And I said, what was that? And that was burying the meat, the seal meat, because it's a hunting community. And they would bury it in the ground in the winter, and it would stay fresh because it would be the permafrost would keep it. Can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
And as the permafrost melts, methane gets released, which makes it worse.
That's right.
You say the meat of the speech was a brave assertion of the power of government, not as an alien entity, but as an instrument of the collective will and desires of a self-governing people. I mean, he really did make the case for that.
Yeah, I mean, I want to see what happens when it gets fed into the meat grinder. But if you wondered what he was about, if you were as I was, if you were still unclear about what he means to do as the president, you're not anymore.
Right.
I mean, I honestly thought, and I was thinking about this after I wrote last night, I didn't think his first inaugural was that good, and I think people were expecting a barn burner and didn't get it.
Yeah, and it could have been because I was literally had frozen my teats off by the time I heard the speech last time. But, yeah, I know what you mean.
Did you go back to Lost and Found this time to see if they were there?
Hello, might someone have found my teats?
Oh, here, it's among the Cheez-Its.
Find this. They were confiscating everything else yesterday going to the mall. They had an entire box full of those folding chairs that go in a bag, you see at golf tournaments. Yeah. They apparently weren't letting people bring those onto the wall, and there must have been, like, $10,000 worth of these expensive, L.L. Bean folding chairs in a box.
Well, they'll sell them back to the people for $100.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, the first thing you said when you sat down in here before we went on, you said, "Wow, I didn't see Stonewall coming."
No, that was something. I mean, I got to tell you to link those three together and because I wrote this and I wrote this yesterday too. A lot of the people who were involved at Selma. They weren't like exactly out front on women's rights, and they sure as heck weren't out front on gay rights. I mean, that was a problem. Those were problems within the movement. And to link them up and to have, where I was standing, have people cheer Stonewall as loudly as they cheered Selma, that was really something.
Yep.
And the other thing I saw last night, which I thought was really cool, I went up to the inaugural ball for a while, and then I just sort of wandered around. I saw two male sailors in uniform holding hands going into the inaugural ball.
Wow.
How cool is that?
I know. And I was saying I was at
that fight's over. That to me is no matter what happens in the States, and frankly, no matter what happens in front of the Supreme Court, that particular war is over. All that's left is the stragglers.
Yeah.
And
thank you. That's well put. I mean, and I was saying last night, I got to go to the Human Rights Campaign ball, and I'm standing there talking to Senator Tammy Baldwin, who, of course, is the first openly gay senator. And I thought, this is not, I mean, in light of what the president said in the speech that day, I just thought, what an exciting time to be us. And when we were saying it'll be a story when it's not a story anymore.
Right.
Her sexuality or anybody else's.
Yeah, I mean, and I think. When you saw how smoothly it fit into the continuum of who gets, I mean, how do we expand the idea of human rights in this country? And it fits, I mean, with those three elements.
Right.
Somebody in the speech writing staff deserves, like, an extra bagel this morning.
Yes, exactly. Tony, let's do 13 and then 14 again. Give me 13. We that's worth hearing again.
We, the people, declare today that the most evident of truths, that all of us are created equal, is the star that guides us still. Just as it guided our forebears through Seneca Falls and Selma and Stonewall, just as it guided all those men and women, sung and unsung, who left footprints along this great mall, to hear a preacher say that we cannot walk alone, to hear a king proclaim that our individual freedom is inextricably bound to the freedom of every soul on earth.
Yeah, I mean, it was, and the thing, we'll do the next, I mean, the thing when he's talked about love, that was like a hair standing on the back of your neck moment. Here he is yesterday, the second part of this.
For our journey is not complete until our wives, our mothers and daughters can earn a living equal to their efforts. Our journey is not complete until our gay brothers and sisters are treated like anyone else under the law. For if we are truly created equal, then surely the love we commit to one another must be equal as well. Our journey is not complete until no citizen is forced to wait for hours to exercise the right to vote. Our journey is not complete until we find a better way to welcome the striving, hopeful immigrants who still see America as a land of opportunity. Until bright young students and engineers are enlisted in our workforce rather than expelled from our country. Our journey is not complete until all our children, from the streets of Detroit to the hills of Appalachia to the quiet lanes of Newtown, know that they are cared for and cherished and always safe from harm.
Wow. Sensible gun legislation, gay rights, and a brush back on voter suppression.
Can
you imagine what Romney's inaugural could have been like?
That obelisk is just the right height.
I'm sure it would be soaring. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that was, wow.
As I said, that was the meat of the speech. That's what he came to the podium to say. Other stuff, I mean, he made a little head fake towards deficit reduction, and then that vanished. I remember going through four presidential debates where the phrase climate change was not even mentioned.
Yep.
And all of a sudden it pops on this one. And it pops in a really kind of, I don't want to say sneering, but a really kind of contemptuous remark about climate change denial. I mean, it wasn't just, hey, we got to do something about this. It's, hey, you know, you people who don't want to believe science, you know, go stand in the corner and, you know, eat Wheatino with your toes. You know, well, the rest of us are going to do this. The rest of us are going to do, you know, the rest of us are going to do something about this.
I got to quote a little Charlie Pierce to Charlie Pierce. Because, as you say, you know, again, we'll see. Here we go with a Republican Congress, see what happens. But you said, blah, 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 blah. For an afternoon, anyway, a Democratic president reclaimed the language of freedom from those for whom it means merely lower taxes and more guns. He reclaimed government as a manifestation of the country's aspirations, not as an anchor on its progress. And he refused with precision and neatly camouflaged contempt many of the most destructive ideas that have poisoned our politics for nearly four decades. Now, he did nothing less than redefine patriotism in a progressive way that is already bothering all of the right people. This, I tell you, is what gives me hope, which is why I want you to hang around for Right Wing World.
Oh, absolutely. Because there must be. I was down there, so I didn't see really any of the coverage. I didn't get back to my television set until about 10:30 last night.
We are renaming this feature "Proving Charlie Pierce's Point."
And you know, when I got back, I watched Rachel Maddow, who was in the Isonkosphere. So it really, I mean, she was so happy that I went over to Fox a little bit. Actually, Pat Buchanan, God bless the cranky old
Coot.
Actually had the right idea. He said what I said. He didn't think it was a good idea.
Right.
But he said essentially said if you think this guy is kidding, don't try it.
Right.
He also was complaining that at one point he complained that President Obama mentioned Stonewall but didn't mention Bunker Hill. I'm not exactly sure what that meant.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure what that meant, but
let me check my crazy old white man's thesaurus. What is that? I don't know. All right. Charlie Pierce remains live in studio with us. We do Right Wing World.
Excellent.
Proving Charlie Pierce's point next on the Stephanie Miller Show live from D.C.
She's the life of the Democratic Party. Ignore the lampshade. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Don't make me lose my mind. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gonna make me go all out. Up in here.
Up in here. Up in here.
Here?
Here.
No, up over in there.
Over there.
Okay. Up over in there.
Up there.
Of course, some people do go both ways.
You're what?
I use that line all the time.
If you're watching on current TV, you noticed a subtle chair dancing from Charlie Pierce. I never thought I would see in my lifetime.
I am down with the Ute. As my children will tell you.
The Utes and the Pines.
I am down with the Utes.
So I gave you a big shout out yesterday on the show because you did me a major solid.
I did. I achieved Lady Liberal Estrogen Event Horizon by introducing Stephanie to Elizabeth Warren. But what was great was I went out to see her, and she was leaving this fundraiser for Al Franken. For Al Franken, and she was out in the hallway, and I hadn't seen her since she got elected, so I went out, and we greeted each other enthusiastically.
She gave you a bear hug.
I know. I told her I could call her senator, finally. And I thought, oh, God, she's going to walk out, and Stephanie's not. So I ran in, and I'm like, come here.
Oh, my God, he's like a spastic third base coach. I was like, what?
Get out here now!
Because Kenny Loggins is playing, and I was like, oh, my God, that's a political geek. I'm like, Elizabeth Warren, who cares about Kenny? If he's not going to do Footloose, I'm leaving. because I didn't know she was leaving, so you got
So we have the photo on your website. There's photos up on your website,
yes,
right?
Yes, okay. Or the photos up where?
On your Facebook page.
Okay.
Yes.
Stephanie Miller Show Facebook. She could not be warmer and seems like everything you think she is.
Yeah, I am, there are a few people in politics that I am not objective about, and she's one of them.
Yeah.
Another one's Chuck Hagel, actually, but that's another discussion. But, I think, you saw the reception she got. She's already means so much to so many people.
It was hilarious because you could tell Al Franken was stretching because, like most people this week, she was caught in traffic.
Yeah.
And so he's like literally in the middle of a stem winder, and we should be able to afford an education for Anne Elizabeth's here.
Yeah.
She's just in mid sentence. Like, and everyone's like, ah. hilarious. He was hilarious.
He was very on it. He was very sharp. I mean, I always wonder, and someday I hope to ask him, how do you integrate his previous job with this one?
Right.
And, you know, how can you be a comedian and a senator instead of a comedian who is a senator?
I believe.
And I thought he's really got it now because he was very, very funny.
He was, I was going to say he has unleashed the comedy Kraken again.
Yeah.
Because I think he was in the beginning acting more subdued.
Because it's got to be enormously tempting. Because, you know, after what some of the stuff you've got to go through in the Senate. I mean,
I know.
To have that gift and that instinct to you know, essentially squelch the hecklers from, you know, my good friend, the heckler from Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you not sit down and write comedy routines about Jim Imhoff and Tom Coburn, the funniest pair of senators in the history of the Republic?
Oh, my God, Jim, you would have loved he did a dead-on Bernie Sanders impression.
Another thing, that's exactly right, he does Bernie Sanders.
But he also made an amazing point about the cost of college in the United States as compared to... You know, he was talking about, Senator Sanders was talking to someone about, you know, how much does it cost in this country?
Finland.
Zero.
Yeah.
And he said, well, they pay you to go to
Finland,
college.
Yeah, Finland, they pay you to go to college. Wow.
But he made a really good point about how, you know, the percentage that Pell Grants paid back in, you know, whatever year it was, you know.
It was 60% of your education, now it pays 32%.
Right. Yeah, and that, you know, just about the dream of college. And he was talking about talking to a bunch of college kids and saying, how many work 20 hours a week? How many work 30 hours, or how many work 40 hours a week while you're going to college full time? He said that's no way to go to college, and most kids have to.
Yeah, and he did so in a way, I mean, he did so in Bernie Sanders' voice, which was funny.
Yes.
At the same time he was making the point. Bernie Sanders, by the way, apparently Bernie Sanders is not that far away from Charlie Rangel.
When I close my
right. He doesn't have to get that raspy thing going, but...
I know, and then I ran into Bernie Sanders, and I was like, wow, that's an eerie imitation of an Al Franken imitation of you. and then that was hilarious. He has a new grandchild on the way.
Yes.
And he said,
he needs more because he's running for re-election.
Right, he said, because Minnesotans like babies. And but he also said, I decided I don't want to be.
They've had so many of them.
I love this. He said, I don't want to be called Grandpa Al, I decided, so I'm just going to have him call me Senator.
No, it's funny. I told Senator Warren that the election night, my Facebook feed exploded with about 12 variations of, yes, you can call her Senator Professor Warren now, pal. And she got a very big kick out of that. She told a great story. Congressman Joe Kennedy, who is my congressman now, actually, the youngest, you know, the grandchild of Robert Kennedy, met his wife in her class at Harvard Law. And he came in the first day of class and sat down in the front row and took off his shoes and kind of leaned back in his chair. And she looked at him and said, oh, this is the person I'm going to make the example of. This was like the paper chase where Professor Kingsfield picks out Mr. Hart and humiliates him the first day of class. She went right at him, apparently, about, Mr. Kennedy, can you give me the definition of, you know, some term of law? And he went, abba, dabba, dabba. And she went, Mr. Kennedy, did you do the reading last night? He went, abba, dabba, dabba, a little faster. And he was like the target for the rest of the term. It was very funny.
Now, there's a lesson in equality.
Exactly.
I don't friggin' care if you're a Kennedy.
Oh, I got a Kennedy. I can do something to a Kennedy. This could be fun.
And then, Al Franken did a very funny thing about it, too, but they have an ongoing argument that they've had from the first day.
Who's more unlikely?
Yeah, who is more unlikely, me or you? And he's like, me. It's me. I've been a comedian for 40 years. But, yeah, I mean, I there was a piece we were talking about, I can't remember where it was, but about how this is a really like an emergence of a really new liberal Senate. We have some, I mean,
well,
we
certainly
talk about Franken and Tammy Baldwin and Elizabeth Warren, and we have some new liberal lions.
There's a block, I think, that can influence things, which is what you do in a legislative system. You make people have to come to you.
Right.
And there are enough people now that if you want to get something
done,
I mean, if you're going to do more financial regulation, you have to come to Elizabeth Warren. If you're going to do, you know, more.
I like that. I think she already made AIG's nutsack go back up inside.
Stephanie Louise Miller.
Don't you think? Because she opened the largest can of whoop-ass about them saying, our settlement wasn't really good enough. We might sue you.
Yeah. That erupted pretty spontaneously, but it was nice to have somebody, you know, carrying the ball in the legislature for it. I don't know about you, but the inner tubes that I go to went, wait, what? Hello?
What now?
Well, if it was such a burden for you, pay it back with interest.
Yeah. Yeah, but she know. I mean, you know, and they
with the 50,
down.
With the $4 a week you make folding laundry in prison.
Yeah.
Exactly. What are your other favorite moments from this week?
I really was very moved by the fact that Merle Evers got to give the invocation because I've spoken with her a number of times. I did a story a long time ago that never actually ran, but that required me to go to Jackson and go to the house where Medgar Evers was shot in his driveway.
Yeah.
I talked a long time to Bobby DeLauder, the prosecutor who brought the case against Byron D. Lebeckwith 30 years later and got the conviction.
Yeah.
And I was on the mall. I was in the gold section on the mall, and there were like maybe old grandparents explaining to their grandchildren who Medgar Evers was. And he's kind of forgotten. And having her up there talking, I thought, was very, very moving.
Charlie Pierce stays for Right Wing World next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yahoo! It's our last hour, live from D.C., Inauguration Week. Charlie Pierce of Esquire.com live in studio with us. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. What a week, what an inauguration, right? This one thing you talked about, I was just reading this again. Sometimes people say that you have to go back and listen again or read it and go, wow. He said, we recognize that no matter how responsibly we live our lives, any one of us, any time, may face a job loss or a sudden illness or a home swept away in a terrible storm. The commitments we make to each other through Medicaid and Medicare and Social Security, these things do not sap our initiative. They strengthen us.
Yeah.
And then he said the thing about they do not make us a nation of takers.
I get premium support.
Shut up, Eddie Munster. Isn't that wonderful, Eddie? Didn't you enjoy that part of the speech?
No, I won't go.
Oh, man. Yeah, but what a week. What an inauguration. It was, it's interesting because a lot of, the pre-inauguration punditry is, people are as excited this time.
I thought people were not, that's what I think gives the speech its power is that it was so unexpected.
Right.
I don't think anyone expected this, and it's caught some people flat-footed, as we will discover.
Well, now I'd expect the Spanish Inquisition.
I think our friend Chris Matthews said on the air, and also loudly in my face last night when I...
Hey!
As he does.
You're 2 feet away from me. I'm yelling.
Can you imagine being at a party between him and Al Sharpton? Just saying. But I think he was talking about, in some ways it was even more, I don't even know if exciting is the word, but because it proves it wasn't a fluke. I mean, yes, of course it was historic last time, but
that's an interesting meme, actually, which is the best thing the more historic thing is reelecting an African-American president.
Right.
Considering, just unemployment still at 8%, he had 4 years of assault, both legislative and otherwise.
Right.
On him, and he won fairly handily. And not only did he win fairly handily, he brought in some Democrats in the Senate. And if they hadn't been playing, monkey mischief with the electoral maps, he would have probably taken the House too, or come very close.
Yep.
And which, by the way, is still going on apace. The one thing I want to see, and I did quote the Epistle of St. James: "Faith without works is dead." I want to see something on voting. I want to see some federal action on voting. In February, the guts of the Voting Rights Act comes before the Supreme Court, and that's going to be a very big decision.
Did you hear that memo that came out? Republicans basically bragging about stealing the House from the Democrats gerrymandering.
The two things. The gerrymandering, there really isn't a lot you can do unless you get organized in the states to un-gerrymander the legislative seats, which is the problem. But the voter suppression stuff, the voter ID stuff, the stuff that deliberately makes it harder to vote in federal election, that demands federal action, and I want to see that.
Yep.
The other thing I'm looking forward to on the whole climate change thing is what he does about the pipeline.
Right.
Because if he lets that catastrophic pipeline go through, I'm going to wonder about whether or not this was just a show pony of an address, because that's really bad.
Yeah.
Julie was the one that talked about Chris Matthews. Hey, Steph, during the blah, 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 hardball last night, the special edition, Chris was talking about the significance of America reelecting its first black president. He was saying that the fact Obama was reelected did away with the notion dearly held by Republicans like Romney that his first term was some sort of fluke, that he was the beneficiary of a nation coming out of the dreadful Bush years, and that anyone from the Democratic column could have been elected. And this is the part about my dad. Yeah, Chris brought up what a big deal it was for America to elect its first Roman Catholic POTUS with Jack Kennedy, but noted then when Bill Miller was nominated with Goldwater, he was a Roman Catholic. It wasn't really an issue anymore. And it is interesting how we have a history in this country of things like you were saying, the gay thing. You mentioned a moment with your daughter Molly when you thought, okay, this issue's done. It's
yeah,
gone.
My cousin Jamie married his longtime Rick right after the Goodrich decision in Massachusetts, which is where the ball got rolling, by the way.
Right.
The following weekend, she went to back to school. She must have been in third or fourth grade, and she was bragging at people that she had been to a gay wedding. And I thought to myself, this is over, you know, because this generation of kids want they look at people who are fighting this like we're insane, like people are my generation are insane.
Yeah.
What's the big? Yeah. Shut up.
I'm going
over to have a play date with my friend who is right. married to her girlfriend.
Right.
And it's okay. Good.
Yep,
bye.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Still only one popsicle.
Exactly right.
Obama really Julie writes, Obama really vindicated the confidence that we Obama apologists have had in him, didn't he? I thought I never lived long enough to hear Stonewall in an inauguration address. All the headlines this morning referring to the address as an aggressive vindication of liberalism. Woot! Which is, you know, much what you wrote. And that's this brings us to Right Wing World, which is proving Charlie Pierce's point exactly.
Yeah, because you mentioned Roman Catholicism and religion. I want to bring up one of the things. John Nichols told me this, and I did not know it, and I checked it.
Nation.
And he's right.
Yes.
Hawaii now has the first entire congressional delegation made up of non-Christians.
Wow.
That's true.
Two of them are Buddhists, and the guy who was appointed by the governor to replace Dan Inouye is Jewish.
Wow.
Wow.
So
wow.
This is the first first delegation that was made up completely of non-Christians.
Wow.
And they're from Hawaii, which is cool.
And the best thing about the address, as Charlie Pierce says, is it pissed off all the right people.
Oh.
And here they are now. Let's
the
dive
reviews
into
are
the
in, ladies and gentlemen.
Right-wing world and see what's doing, shall we? Here he is, Chris Wallace from Fox News.
If you were a supporter of Barack Obama, and particularly a liberal supporter of Barack Obama, you were very pleased by this speech. It seemed to me he said, I made some promises and commitments in this campaign, and I intend to keep them and to redeem them. I thought it was a real call to arms for a liberal agenda. He talked about community and the idea that we can't do these things individually, whether
right.
it was from the economy to infrastructure to helping people in need after a hurricane. He reached out to women and to gays, made it clear that immigration reform was going to be a big part of the second term agenda, voting rights, gun control.
Okay.
I love that these are
and
negative things.
And your point.
Yeah.
And
the
your
problem
is
with that is.
I think that that's pretty much that ship has sailed, that we can't do infrastructure individually.
Yeah, I cannot build a road. I guarantee you, I cannot even replace a light bulb. I can't build a road.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Charlie, could you please redesign DuPont Circle?
Exactly.
It's a little confusing. Okay.
I want to solve this whole northwest-southeast thing. Yeah. What do you mean there are three different Pennsylvania
Just
avenues?
Change the grid.
No, it's not three of them. It's the same road. That's fair. I'm buying a house.
All right. Sean Hannity.
Oh, here we go.
I think several things can be said in regards to the address. First, it was the most partisan and divisive inaugural address in living memory. Now, there was the veneer of unity and common purpose, but it's always unity and common purpose as a means to an end.
What
Obama defines is advancing his own left-wing agenda.
Shocking.
It's as if he'd won an election of some sort.
It's as if people think these things should happen. It's as if these things the stuff people want should actually happen. It's as if there's a world outside my studio.
It's as if these politicians listen to the voters or something.
I mean,
what?
But, I mean, that's the thing. Whether it's every single issue that you and I both talked about, that he talked about, the American people, largely on his side, on every single one of these issues. When you talk about, it's partisan and divisive, right, it's an election, and most Americans voted for those things.
Right, and it's partisan and divisive because you don't like them.
Right.
You feel partisaned. You feel divided. That's not his problem. I've said this for a long time. It's not the president's responsibility to help John Boehner control the feral children he has to control in his day job. It's not his job to put the Republican Party back together again.
That was my favorite thing you wrote about the last budget negotiations or the fiscal cliff, whatever. And you said it's as if one side, you know, you come to an agreement and then the other side has to go back into a room of wild ferrets and see how they like it. And then
go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right, go ahead.
No, it's fine. I just not the president's job to make life easier for the Republicans.
Right. Right, and they're wild ferrets. All right, Eric Bolling on the five.
Oh, the funny man.
This speech was filled with hypocrisy. He spoke one thing, but by the way, here's what happened on my Twitter and on my Facebook today all day.
I don't care.
I got comments like
I don't care about your friend.
What I usually get, and it's something along the lines of I all can't
misspelled.
Watch. I've heard enough. Flush
all
my
misspelled.
Head down
I guarantee
toilet.
It.
We asked for it. We bought it. You own it. When you look at the numbers,
Bob, you were on
look
there
at the
today.
Price of gasoline. Look at the income numbers. Look at the net worth numbers. Look at the debt numbers. And you wonder, how could they vote for another 4 more years?
Wow, that's going to be Fox News.
Because
telling the American people how stupid they are for 4 years.
Because the other guy was a plutocrat who you hated every proportionally by how much you were exposed to him. Did you guys not notice this?
All right. And Charles Krauthammer on Fox News.
And I think what's most interesting is that Obama basically is declaring the end of Reaganism in this speech. Remember, he once said that Ronald Reagan was historically consequential.
He was.
In a way that Bill Clinton was not.
In a bad way.
And Obama meant is that Obama had changed the ideological course of the country. In 1981, in his inaugural address, within 2 minutes, Reagan had declared that government is not the solution, government is the problem. Today's inaugural address was a rebuke to that entire idea.
Yes.
This speech today was
you know
an
why?
Ode to big government. It was a hymn to big government.
Yes, and you know why? Because it was a stupid thing for Ronald Reagan to say.
Yeah.
Ronald Reagan thought government was big enough to sell missiles to the mullahs.
Exactly.
I like having Charlie Pierce.
By the way, where did the deficit go? Where did government spending go under Ronald Reagan, by the way? The government's not the solution, government's the problem, except when it comes to buying aircraft carriers.
Exactly. Yeah.
Bill O'Reilly, yesterday.
He has to know, the president, in his inaugural address today, which appealed to emotion rather than the mechanics of getting the country in a place where everybody can prosper. Uh-huh. He has to know that he's on the road to disaster.
Says the cool, rational Bill O'Reilly.
Wow, he's on the road to disaster. He doesn't seem to care.
He's on the road to disaster.
Yeah, wow.
He looked. Everything looked disastrous yesterday, didn't it? I mean, he looked like, oh man, I'm. It's over, man. My political career.
Proud people riding around in costumes. Disaster.
My political career is done, man. Oh boy, jeez. And like Bill O'Reilly saying, it appealed to emotion.
Right. Well, yeah. This is the point.
You know
why
it appealed to emotion? Because we did it live.
Don't block the shot.
Don't block the shot.
All right.
Shot am I blocking?
You know why you think that? Because the president is an ideologue, and Bill O'Reilly and Bernard Goldberg are not.
Oh, God. Right. Bernie Goldberg.
Here it is.
Bernie and I basically are not ideologues.
Of course not.
I'm not. I don't think you are.
No.
Of course.
Where were you in front of Fox News?
Bernie Goldberg is just relentlessly bitter that he wasn't Dan Rather.
That's all that is. You're absolutely right,
I mean,
Charlie.
He never got the career he wanted to have at CBS, and now he's on an HBO sports show with a lot of people who are a lot better than he is, and he gets to go on Bill O'Reilly and explain how he's not really an ideologue, but the liberal media is killing your children.
18 minutes after the hour, we continue live in studio with Charlie Pierce on the Stephanie Miller Show from Washington, D.C.
Making right-wing wackos everywhere hurl. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, bringing the sexy back in the form, of course, of Charlie Pierce of Esquire.com, who was at the Sexy Liberal Show at the Warner Theater Saturday night and may have gotten a bigger cheer than anybody on stage.
Oh, that's not entirely true, but thank you for saying that. I think Alan Grayson is a rock star.
Well, just for walking and sitting. Yeah. Alan Grayson always gets a standing ovation.
Yeah, he worked the room, too. Just had to come in the side and walk right up the middle aisle. He's not stupid.
No. No.
And it's good to have him back.
I know. Oh, my God. So exciting. And you were saying, it was very sweet, you were saying, this is really like a family you put together here. Which we were saying that Saturday night.
Carl Frisch was there.
I was there.
Rocky Mountain Mike was there.
Everybody from all over the country came in.
A lot of the star callers were there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We were all at Road Philly Mary's absence was felt.
A great name, by the way.
But,
you know what?
Great night.
Is somebody stealing her money again?
Presumably the blacks or the Jews.
The Browns and the poor stealing her money again?
Right, yes.
Show me a rich Jew and then a Hindu.
A Hindu?
Oh, Lord. Anyway, yeah, we were saying this weekend a little bit of a blur. That was like 17 events ago, Sexually Liberal. But thank you, everybody, that came out. We had an amazing time. Oh, by the way, so we were talking about this earlier, that Mitt Romney was MIA on Inauguration Day, which is one of the first times ever.
Yeah.
But he also went a step further by asking if he was going to watch. He said doubtful, which I thought was kind of sore losery.
Say yes. Yeah. I mean, lie and say
just
yes.
Lie,
lie
yeah.
and say yes. I don't know. I mean, when was the last time we, and I haven't recently, when was this, a lot of times the losing candidate is a senator.
Michael Dukakis did not watch the, did not go to the swearing-in of George H.W. Bush. He watched on TV and ate a tuna sandwich.
Oh, God love him. And I guarantee you, that's what he did yesterday, too, if he wasn't here. I guarantee you that's what he did. I didn't realize that that was it, because a lot of times the losing candidate is a senator or a congressman and has to be there anyway.
Right. No, that's what they're saying. Yeah. Well, people were saying, well, yes, he's, you know, wasn't the first time he's not an elected official.
Mitt, after all, but, is unemployed, like you and me.
Yeah, right.
And just like
right.
All the other 8%.
He was too busy pumping gas and looking like a smelly hobo, as I said earlier.
And trying to stay out of Ann's way.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I don't think Ann had a very good day yesterday.
No. No, it was our turn.
I don't think there was a lot of sexy time going on in the Romney household yesterday.
No, I've speculated that she will never have sex with him again after the last thing he said. You remember he said, we don't put her out there a lot. We don't want people to get sick of her.
Ouch.
Right?
That
yeah.
was worse than
Trust
Falca
me, a little goes
place.
A long way with this bitch. What did I say? What?
That was the other great thing. Like millions of American liberals gathering around their TV set during the Olympics to root against a horse. How great was that?
It's interesting.
Fall down!
Lawrence O'Donnell called Romney's decision not to attend understandable, but said he didn't get why he had to take that extra step and say, I'm not going to watch. Isn't the moment where he should have announced that about himself. It's just, it's yet another gaffe in machine.
Did you get those from the 7-Eleven bakery?
And then Rachel Maddow agreed and said Romney putting the word out that he wouldn't attend was, in fact, making himself the story. I mean, it just lacks grace
and
class.
I thought the whole event suffered from the lack of mittness.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I really did. I thought there was an entire reservoir of boredom that wasn't attacked.
Right.
It wasn't available.
You wanted
for the
to
rest
see if you could detect a facial expression on him during
the... Yeah, it was getting a little chilly. I think he might have, like, actually winced. but I mean... I still think Paul Ryan probably had the most terrible afternoon of anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's very, very rarely do you get a shot taken directly between your eyes in an inaugural event.
Yeah.
That takers thing. I think the president really, and this is something else that I wrote yesterday, I think he really got a good look, if he hadn't already, at what the political opposition was really all about during the campaign, and I think he clarified his ideas on his own presidency.
Yeah, well, you said that.
I mean,
that.
They really do want to do away with all this stuff. It's
right.
not, you know, it's not political posturing to get a little bit of what they want. If they get control of the entire government, this stuff will go away.
Right.
And I think, I think at some point, you know, it got through to certainly to his advisors and to him that, you know, hey, accidentally, you have to protect every progressive program back to Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah.
That's part of your job now.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, this was a huge historical argument in a lot of ways, and he won.
Yeah.
And that's what the speech was about, right?
Yeah. And I don't know that if you want to look at an equally partisan inaugural address, and nobody remembers this because they didn't have a ceremony, is Reagan's second inaugural, where he was very strong on eliminating, you know, shrinking government and government not having a role in business. It was very ideological. It didn't have the poetry this did, but this idea that it's unprecedented to have an inaugural address that's partisan is crazy.
Yeah,
because George W. Bush's second one was too. It was essentially a praise for what was then called the Bush Doctrine,
right?
Which is now called, you know, rubble all over the Middle East.
Right.
But
right, which Sarah Palin understood as. I'll have to get back to
you. Yeah, he thought the Bush Doctrine was somewhere I was going
to
make
in
a
In respect to what,
I was
Charlie?
I was going to make a gynecological joke.
Yeah. Yeah.
In respect to what, Charlie?
I'm on TV now.
See what you did there?
Yeah. See, I just realized I was talking to a Charlie, too, and so was she. And that means what now?
She just turned into the church lady.
Satan? yeah, I mean, in some ways, I don't sort of get it. Like you say, he always gives a beautiful speech, but you go, yes, you ran on these issues and you won, and why wouldn't the inaugural be, how is that considered partisan and to go,
it was
this the, is what we're going to do
it,
now,
it was,
because...
It was the clearest election we've had in I don't know how long on two visions of government, because both sides were very clear about what they, you know, and you can argue that maybe the president got pushed.
Right.
You know, to defend some of the stuff where he might have ordinarily have bargained it away in his first term. I won't dispute that. But in the campaign, he was forced to defend stuff that that he maybe wasn't comfortable defending.
Right.
And I think,
well, you know, the kind of we are the ones we're waiting for, the we and all that he ran on the first time, in a way it was a continuation of that because, hey, this is we, as in this is what the majority of American people want on each of these issues. So, Charlie Pearson, we love you so much.
Hey, it's been a fun weekend.
You little cuddle bug.
It's been a fun weekend. And
Thank you.
Once I found the studio, it was a great,
even better time here.
Now I'm going to go try to find my way back downtown.
All right. Right back with David.
I'll be calling from Baltimore.
Right back with David Bender on the Stephanie Miller Show from D.C.
Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie, nice software.
Thank you. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, the extra crispy seeds and stems of the Inauguration Week show. As we approach the end of hour three. All right. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Amazing inauguration, though.
It was.
We were saying it's so great to be able to be live in studio with people like Charlie Pierce and to take Jackie Schechner like a really smoking hot carry-on on the road with us. Awesome.
I did think there was a moment on the plane that I could have been Chris's carry-on. There's such a size difference
there. You are teeny. You are teeny, and you fit in most overhead compartments.
I'm not teenier than you are.
Yeah, you kind of are.
Nah. 34 minutes after the hour. Why, looky here, it's time to return to Benda.
Return!
David Bender, our buddy, our pal.
Return. David Bender. Means a lot, doesn't it, Bender?
Return. David Bender.
David Bender. Fellow Lancer, David Bender.
Good morning,
Bender. Fellow Lancer, indeed, and it is a very important day. It is your mother's birthday.
It's my Republican mom's 90th birthday. I'm on my way to Charlotte in just a few minutes to take my mom out for dinner.
And fall asleep in the lobster. Because you are burnt toast. How have you done it?
Yes.
How have you been holding her up, Jackie Schechner and Chris and Jim? How did keep her going?
Lots of booze.
David, it's weekend at Stephanie's.
I was missing one handler in David Bender who missed the only flight out of Bum F wherever he lives.
I did. I was fogged in for an entire 36-hour period.
Ooh.
And so, you would rather be, as a dear friend of mine points out, down here cursing that you can't get up there than up there being really terrified you can't get down on the ground.
Right. So you didn't miss anything. Okay. The president didn't say anything historic about gay rights or anything else. Don't worry.
I am, however, leaving on my journey right now. I'm heading to Seneca Falls. I will be in Selma. tomorrow, and I wind up in Stonewall, where it's bagels for everybody.
Yeah.
It turns out, by the way, for a brief period of time, when I lived in New York, this is how our history has evolved. Remember, Stonewall was 1969. It was 43 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this has happened in a very small period of time.
Right. Well, compared to any other civil rights battle, right? I mean, we've moved at warp speed just in Obama's administration, don't you think?
Seneca Falls was in 1848, and women didn't get the right to vote until 1920.
Hmm.
Think about that. And the Emancipation Proclamation, 1863, Voting Rights Act, 1965.
Eric's moving almost as slow as Mitch McConnell.
Yeah, exactly. It is the turtle pace.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've been listening. As a matter of fact, I've been listening on the Progressive Voices channel on TuneIn.
Hello, look at you, Pluggy McPluggerson.
How about that? But we're playing the speech all day long at the top of the hour, so I was just listening to it at the break. And every single moment that he had an opportunity to do something that was transformational. Remember, that's what we've been saying. This president, you know, is he really going to live up to everything we thought he was?
Right.
This was not a transactional speech. This was not a deal-making speech. This was a transformational moment in our history. And, I'll tell you, it's anecdotal. I'm walking through, and it's San Francisco to be sure. Didn't Charlie Pierce say he saw two soldiers holding hands going into one of the inaugural balls?
Yeah.
I saw two gay couples holding hands, and they were several feet off the ground at the San Francisco airport.
Yeah.
And I got to say, I think there is something different now. We have turned a page from Stonewall to yesterday.
David, we were saying, I mean, quite honestly, what an amazing time to be us. I mean, all of us. You know, when you think of, you know, and they're listening to what the president said at the inauguration, which, you know, even Charlie Pierce said, wow, didn't see Stonewall coming.
Nope.
You know, got to go to the Human Rights Campaign ball last night, standing there talking to Senator Tammy Baldwin. I get back to the hotel, and I run into Chris Perry and Sandy Steer, who are the Supreme Court case, Perry versus Schwarzenegger. And I thought, really, what an amazing time to be us at this civil rights battle in our history.
It is an extraordinary time. And Steffi, I have to tell you something. I mean, for me, the camera cut away to Jesse Jackson watching the president talking about this. Remember, Jesse Jackson ran for president, the Rainbow Coalition, first started talking about some of these things. I was a young organizer for what was then the Human Rights Campaign Fund. It was the beginning of HRC. I'm proud to say I helped start it. And this was in the early 80s, the very first major dinner that happened for gay political rights was in 1981, the Waldorf Astoria. I was the dinner organizer, and the big name that we got was a former vice president, Walter Mondale. At that point, he was the highest elected official, and he was out of office, to ever show up at a gay event. And it was a big deal. It made Time Magazine, you know, it was a huge thing that someone, a former elected official, would attend an event like that. The next year was Jesse Jackson. And that was the first time, so we're talking exactly 30 years ago, the first time Jesse Jackson had ever gone to a gay political event, and he didn't get it. He didn't understand. He kept talking about, I believe you all have the right to have sex with whoever you want.
Oh.
And finally, Harvey Fierstein, who was my MC for the night, said, oh, Reverend, it's about love, not sex.
But for the president to use the word love, that was the other, like, you know, goosebump
that's
moment.
That's exactly it.
Right.
That's exactly it. And that's my point. That's how far we have come in really, literally 30 years in our politics. If you think about, you talk about the Perry case, I mean, we had a Supreme Court decision in 1986 that upheld the anti-gay laws in every state. 1986. That was only repealed 10 years ago in Lawrence v. Texas. This is moving at warp speed, but let's just not put the brakes on at all, but realize that if we thought racism was over when we elected our first African-American president, we were kidding ourselves. And if we think homophobia is going to be over, even if the Supreme Court does rule favorably, we still have a long road to go.
Well, like I said earlier, I will trade your vague sense of ooginess for my full civil rights.
Yes.
That's fine. If you have a vague sense of ooginess that remains, that's fine.
I have a constitutional right not to feel oogie.
I love it when you have the oogies. It is a great day. I can tell you also, and as you are, you know, rolling yourself into the cab to go see your mom, listen to the news. This is the day when they are going to discuss in the United States Senate whether or not they're going to change the filibuster.
We just had Senator Merkley on last week, and I mean, that is really important stuff.
This is that moment where if Mitch McConnell, you know, can't crawl out of the way and back into his shell, he has to be shoved out of the way. And hopefully that's what they're going to do this very day. They have to do it on the opening session, and technically today is the first day of the Senate, even though they've already met, that they can sort of roll it over, or roll him over, until today.
David, we got to go to a luncheon with Senator Boxer, her private luncheon right after the inauguration, which was really a treat for Chris
and
I.
Amazing.
I was going to ask you if you were genuinely surprised by his speech, because she was just on climate change and thrilled, obviously.
Hugely surprised, not surprised that he's capable of giving it, but surprised and elated that he did. And by the way, Barbara Boxer is smaller than Jackie Schechter.
The line that she loved, that she quickly pointed out, is that while something is self-evident, doesn't mean it is self-actuated.
Executing.
Self-executing. Yeah, I mean, meaning, you know.
Well, that was an amazingly important line. It means that we still have to keep fighting for things that, you know, may seem obvious to us. But, you know, let's talk about what leadership does. He also had a line in the speech, "We cannot mistake absolutism for principle or substitute spectacle for politics or treat name-calling as reasoned debate."
What a jerk for saying that.
Yeah, exactly. What an asshat. How could he say that? But those are those moments where you think maybe he is saying, and you camera cuts to Paul Ryan, sitting behind Beyonce and Jay-Z, by the way, and wincing at being called out. As Charlie pointed out, you call people out not ad hominem and say, you know, they're Kenyan Muslim socialists. You call them up for their stupid, regressive, evil ideas, which is what the president did. We are not a nation.
Well,
of
and he, I mean, not only, you know, like I say, was this so historic, and, you know, him tying gay people into the whole civil rights movement. I mean, that was huge, yep. But I think, as I think, you know, Matt Breen from The Advocate said earlier, a Democratic president will never be able to run again and not be for marriage equality. We have moved forward.
Yeah.
You know, I did Howard Dean's campaign, and I'll tell you why I did that. Howard Dean, as a governor of Vermont, the most progressive state, Bernie Sanders, how did I get here? It's Vermont. Howard Dean had signed civil unions. He was the first governor ever to do it. And he did it in the late 90s and was in trouble when he ran for re-election in Vermont for signing a civil union bill just over a decade ago. And I, when he ran for president, I said, you know, we have to have his back. We have to help him. Yeah. He can't be embarrassed because they're going to say that if you support civil unions, you can't ever be a credible national candidate. That's how far we've come in 8 years.
Let's look at the larger view. How did this compare to Grover Cleveland's inauguration that you...
if we're talking about the larger view, I want to say that, Chris, you have no right to talk about William Howard Taft.
That's the largest view.
I shared a bath with him, okay? and the water was fine.
Okay.
And we had a lovely time, actually.
Granted, it was an Olympic-sized pool.
I've said that he had the same displacement as the USS Maine.
Oh, Jim
By the way, it was Santorum, not Eric Cantor, as the official fact checker of the Stephanie Miller
Show.
No
one does a smarter, more elegant fat joke than Jim Ward. Can I just take a moment to say? By way of MOOC appreciation time.
He was correcting my assertion earlier.
Yes.
That it was Santorum and not Eric Cantor who said what?
Sore winner.
Sore winner.
Yeah, he's being a sore winner.
Of all people, it was Frothy who talked about... Yeah, you know,
you're right.
The sore winner. I mean, it is amazing to me, and there is something to note here. It's one thing that Mitt Romney wasn't watching, okay? No one cares. Right. But symbolically, what might have been really helpful if the Republican Party was changing, if you want to look at clues, look at that roster. 88-year-old Jimmy Carter was there.
Yeah.
Bill Clinton was there. Hillary was there just having come out of a long stay in the hospital. But where was George W. Bush?
No.
I understand his father. His father was ill. But where was George W. Bush? Why was he not there?
Yep.
And that tells you what the Republican Party is really about. They are going to dig in their heels. They do not want to lend their stamp of approval. And then they will call us partisan.
This is unprecedented for a president to talk about the issues which he ran and won on and the American people agree with largely. That's clearly bitterly partisan.
It's a lot of chutzpah on his part. I want to tell you something, again, fact-based, which we are here in the world in which we live. One of the things this president has done, 3 years ago, only a third, according to NBC News, Wall Street Journal, only a third of African Americans supported marriage equality.
Yeah.
It is now a majority in 3 years, and that is leadership.
Yep, absolutely. David, we missed you. It was a
But
love having your comments on it, and we will we'll bring you a knickknack.
Give your mom, Max, and Fred a kiss from me.
I will. All right, honey, love you.
Okay, have lunch on the quad.
All right.
On the quad. Bye.
All right. 47 minutes after the hour, back with a wrap up of the Stephanie Miller Show inauguration week special here live from D.C.
There's something funny going on in talk radio. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller.
You know, there are more vowels in the alphabet.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, running on fumes. Inauguration week here in D.C., 52 minutes after the hour. Oh, my God, Jackie.
Yes.
I just got a text from
who?
Lawrence O'Donnell
saying,
Steph, because my D.C. hotel has current, I'm watching your show and feeling very jealous of Charlie Pierce sitting across the table from you. I would have found the studio on the first try.
Oh, no.
I love you so much, Lawrence O'Donnell. Come kiss me.
Had we known.
I am a gay, and that Bullets promo still makes me hot. Just saying. Remember that promo? He said, I blame Bill Press. I blame the shooter for the first 10 bullets. I blame the law. Made me go from gay to questioning.
Yeah, of course.
It takes a little.
The accuracy of your quote,
and when he walked to camera and challenged Tag Romney to a fight. When he was trying to hit the president.
I think he's got the reach on him. I think Lawrence could...
Bam!
A little rabbit punch.
I wouldn't even see that coming.
Wha-bam!
I'm starting to feel like you're a fair-weather gay.
You turn for anybody.
I know.
Yeah, Melissa Fitzgerald gave me a look last night the way I was looking at Alan Grayson. I'm like, I know. Makes me a little bit... A little bit mushy on the whole sexuality thing.
You turn for my friend Jeff.
Right. Right. Oh, Jeff. Jeff tweeted he was at the Human Rights Campaign thing.
Right. And he ran into Tammy Baldwin. And here's a little conversation that he had with Tammy Baldwin. Jeff, I'm friends with Stephanie Miller. Tammy. Oh, she's here. Assuming we're talking about the same Stephanie Miller. Jeff. Is she a mess? Tammy. No, I don't think so. Jeff. Give it time.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for that.
You would not have recognized Jeff, however, because I think he probably had a shirt on.
And a tie on. Yes.
Right.
My little boy toy.
Aww.
Okay. Some mailbag before we go. Subject line, Ermager in Sexy Liberal D.C.
Ermager.
Searching Liberal.
Andrew.
We put a moratorium on that.
Oh, we did.
Oh, my God, we've just lost. We're not even making any sense.
No, not at all.
It's just gibberish. Yep. Okay, Steph, what a great night. My husband and I had everyone was so wonderful during the meet and grope. This is the first show I've ever seen where the audience mingled like we were all long-lost friends. You have created an amazing community.
Uh-huh.
We have. We're the Sexy Liberal family.
And the chat room got very chatty during the show.
Oh, my God, the chat room was in the first two rows, and they just were chatting during my entire set. People just think... I do not get the respect I'm entitled to. Hal and John and Aisha, people watch with, you know, the comedic reverence that they should be. And then my show, people just yell stuff at me like they're on the phone lines.
Well, that's what they do in the chat room. They yell stuff at you.
I know. I'm like, I can hear you. I'm not in your radio now. I'm right.
Do they type in a lot of exclamation points?
They literally, they have their own subjects they want to cover. They don't. Why do I bother writing stuff on Chardonnay soaked napkins? They don't care.
The real live chat room was just like the on-screen chat room. That's exactly what they do.
All right. I was like, a little chatty here. Chat room. Mama's talking now. Okay. Damien in Johnstown, why I love being sexy liberal Saturday night in D.C. surrounded by people who not only seem to know who I was by my emails, which is equal parts amazing and humbling, but it didn't look at me like I was nuts the minute I opened my mouth. I think that's what Hal said at one point, that people are just buying tickets not to be with us, but just to be away from people out there.
Yeah.
Or to be with other like-minded people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right. I've noticed the audience has their backs to us most of the time now. They're just talking amongst themselves.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Texting. Which is fine. Right.
Can't believe what you just said.
Damien also says, Mama Mook's way too much to say about the D.C. show. Let me throw out a few. Meeting Jim Warren as he tried to sneak through the front door.
Aww.
Realizing, seeing Charlie Pierce chilling in his baseball cap.
Yep.
Seeing 20-somethings and 50-somethings laugh out loud at the same jokes.
Aww.
Alan Grayson in a hizzy.
Yeah.
And four more words, sexy liberal dance party. We did have kind of a little dance party at the end of the show. Right?
Jim and I did a tango.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I may have grinded with someone.
Listen.
Oh,
there's
dear.
Some pictures that Jackie Schechner has put the veto on.
Hello. Hey now.
Yeah.
Don't know when we gave her photo approval, but let me just say Jim would like that one.
Mm. Oh, the one where Melissa Fitzgerald and I were sharing a...
I
don't know what it was.
Yeah,
it was like
the night I go home early, you two do a scene from Black Swan.
Damn.
Whatever.
I think it was a mint chocolate cheesecake lollipop. I know it was...
You were licking the same lollipop.
Yeah. I think we were both trying to take a bite at it at the same time.
Wow. Oh, all right. And Scott in New Jersey says, Steph, as the official heterosexual opera singer of the Stephanie Miller Show, I take great umbrage at the Roland versus Ron discussion on yesterday's show. An episode of Straight Man, Gay Man.
That's right.
It's our spin-off of Rich Man, Poor Man. There are a great number of us straight guys in the opera world who quite enjoy sport.
No, you don't call it sport.
What are you, Mitt Romney? And other masculine activities, we're definitely not overcompensating for anything. Harumph and a good day. Scott in New Jersey. P.S. I am also a poor Jew.
But is he a tenor?
He's a straight poor Jew opera singer? Is he single?
Let me get on that for you, Jackie. Second.
In my experience in choirs, the entire tenor section is gay. But that's
really
fine. Well, actually,
that was quite the broad brush, Jim.
Yeah.
Actually,
on this historic inauguration,
UCLA,
that was quite the homophobic brush.
Well, not homophobic. I mean,
it's just probably true.
Yeah. I mean, well, actually, it turns out I found out too late when I was singing the UCLA choir that I was the only straight guy in the entire. I could have done really well.
He knows show tunes.
I know.
We need to thank a number of people, not only all of us, all y'alls that doing the Lord's work, everybody holding down the fort, Tony and Travis, who is, I have babysitting Max and Fred, holding down the fort, Tony, all the folks in the current control room back in L.A. that all made this possible this week. Happy inauguration week!
All the folks in the Bell Press studio who helped.
Hal Sparks in for me tomorrow, off to be with my mom for her 90th birthday today. I'll see you back in the studio Thursday, but all y'alls will be back in the studio tomorrow.
Happy birthday, Steph's mom!
Yay! Steph's mom. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's the GD Lobster.